I'd like you to join me in the beginning of our handout, where it's titled, The Power of Speech. If anyone doesn't have, there should be plenty. We should be fine. Good. Please join me on number one. The Ramban writes in this letter that he wrote to his son, accustom yourself to speak softly to everyone at all times, and thereby you will be saved from anger. What's the Ramban saying? Help me. What's his advice?
Think before you speak.
We'll get to that. Tremendous concept. You're angry. You're not angry. You might have once met a person who knew somebody who was angry. What's the technique we recommend? Speak softly. It's all in the way you present it. If you tell somebody, I'm angry with you, by golly, you are now angry. If you say, I'm disappointed, it reframes the whole thing. Speak softly. I have a Rebbe, fourth grade Rebbe. I would drink a l'chaim to him. Because in the classroom, he taught us this. When someone misbehaved, and we were a rambunctious bunch, he would turn red. I mean, he was angry. His personality couldn't handle it. But in front of us, he counted to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4. We lost patience. He didn't lose patience. 5, 6. By the time he got to 10, we got the message. Speak softly, and it'll work. I was speaking recently with Rabbi Yaakov Horowitz of Muncie. He's made a life's work to address the problem of kids at risk. Teenagers who can't find their place in the Jewish world, and they get mixed into the wrong crowd. So he told me that many people think that this problem results when the parents are too religious, or when the parents aren't religious enough, or when the family's very wealthy, kids never had to lift a finger, or when the families were very poor, because they're frustrated with their lot in life. He says, give me a break. We've encountered everything. From the religious families to the not, from the rich to the poor, that's not what causes it. He said if the home has a relationship of one criticism to 5 pleasant interactions, then the kids go through life on green. If it's less than that, it's yellow. And if it's very much less than that, you have a problem. He said it's all tied to the environment in the home. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's wife knew that. Don't bring the stress here. Don't bring the screaming here. I'm building an island of serenity for myself, for you, for our children. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah wasn't asking advice. He was asking permission. Take a look at quote number 2. The sin of improper speech is most serious. So what does a person do when they're insulted? Person's insulted, they're boiling out. So the Vilna Gaon writes, a person's task in this world is to be mute, to purse his lips together in silence. This, by the way, doesn't mean you can't communicate. It just means you communicate when you're calm. But in the heat of the moment, he says, keep quiet. Until your dying day, you must undergo pain and trial. I don't refer to fasting. I refer to control of speech. A person remains quiet, he merits enormous reward that even the angels can't comprehend. Self-control of speech was identified by the Vilna Gaon as greatness. People like quick fixes of spirituality. Fasting on the one hand, even meditation to a certain extent, is a quick fix. Control yourself. That's greatness. The Vilna Gaon took this to such an awesome level, you'll take a look at quote 3. It's mind-boggling. Especially to rabbis who run synagogues. He writes, don't go to the synagogue. Do not let our daughter spend time in gathering places. Better pray at home than in the synagogue, because in the synagogue they're exposed to jealousy and lashon hara. I don't know which shul was down the block from his house. I'm glad I wasn't a rabbi in Vilna. But he's serious. He's charting the direction for his kids. And he doesn't want hanging out with people who are comparing clothing, people who are maligning other people. That's the way you talk. Doesn't want any part of it. We ran a Yom Kippur service this past year in Cherry Hill for beginners. So we got feedback afterwards. One of the husbands told us that his wife was so thankful. She says the first time she was able to go to prayers and not worry what people were thinking of her dress. It was just such a non-judgmental environment. The Vilna Gaon would have been proud. The next section is prayer. Prayer is one of the most powerful forces in creation and one of the most underestimated. The Chafetz Chaim used to say that anything worthwhile accomplished in this world is accomplished through prayer. Chafetz Chaim had on his shoulders world Jewry in between the world wars. When they brought him his mother's Tehillim, tear-stained Book of Psalms, he stood up to receive it. He said, whatever I've become is because of her prayers. Such a powerful concept. Often people say they don't know how to pray. The answer is just do it. It works. Says the Ramban, advice to his son. Remove all thoughts from your mind when you pray. Pay attention. Think before you talk. We finally got to that now. Your speech, action, and thought will be straight. Your prayer will be pure and accepted by Hashem. There are certain times during the week that are very opportune for praying. Anybody know some of those times? Louder.
Mincha.
Mincha, good. Eliyahu was answered by Mincha. Other times.
Midnight.
Midnight, if you want to try. Hadlakas Neros, when a woman lights the candles before Shabbos, it's accepted practice that she takes a few moments to pray. It's her moment. Why is it such a special moment? You got to think about it. The women basically pave the way for people to accept Shabbos. They're the ones who accept Shabbos early. Everybody else jumps on the bandwagon. She gets her 18 minutes. And she has her moment that Hashem is favorably disposed what she has to say. Another example is when Shabbos ends. You're on a high. Hashem says, you know, we spent the day together. What can I do for you? Ask. Another one which people overlook. How many blessings are there in grace after meals in Birchas HaMazon? How many blessings?
Five.
Originally there were three, and then they added a fourth. If you're thinking of five, it's because at the end it starts getting very long. What are all those harachamons about? And the answer is, you're on a high. You just thanked God for providing for you. Providing food. Providing that your body works. You're thanking Him. You're on a high. At that moment, Jewish tradition says, go ahead and start asking. And we ask. Harachamon, may the Merciful One give us this. May He give us that. May He enable us to reach the days of the Mashiach. We ask away. 3 pages of asking. Whenever you're on a high, go ahead. It's an opportune moment. Take a look at 5. This is from the Chafetz Chaim, and again follows his perspective. The prayers of a father and mother should be constant for their children, so that they should be successful to grow up to be moral, good people. One of the important concepts when we self-date and when we judge our success in building a Jewish home is to define failure. We don't like to define failure. It's not a pleasant thing, but it's very important. Because the minute you define failure, you know to go in the other direction. If you define what failure would be, then you can remain focused. The Chafetz Chaim at the end of this paragraph 5 writes that when you word the statement that we shall not toil in vain, you should have in mind that your kids should turn out good. The next section, Torah study, fits in a lot of different dimensions here. I like to put it into the sachko, the laughter dimension, because the hope is that when you study Torah, you're enjoying it. And I believe that quote 6 is probably the most important quote for our generation. When you arise from studying, think about what you've learned and what you can implement. In this way, all your days will be used constructively to come closer to Hashem. Why do I think that's the most important quote for our generation? Because our generation is a generation of growth. You have people who grew up with whatever level of observance they did, and they learn more, and they implement more in their lives. They learn more. They keep growing. The key, most detrimental word that a person can use to destroy spiritual growth is the word hypocrite. Yesterday, I didn't light Shabbos candles. For 40 years of my life, I didn't light Shabbos candles. If I light them now, it's going to indicate that I was wrong the past 40 years. You see the problem? Big problem. What's the Jewish perspective? Jewish perspective is you're a human being. Hashem put you at whatever your starting point is. And whatever your starting point is, that's not to your credit. And it's not your fault. The question is, can you study and implement from that point? That's what a human being is about. A human being is about growth. It's about saying that yesterday I got angry and I raised my voice. And today I learned more and I won't. Yesterday I didn't do that mitzvah. Today I learned it and I will. That's a human being. Again, the Ramban's words. Think about what you learned and what you can implement. That's greatness. Quote 7 is a favorite. The Vilna Gaon wrote to his wife, I have left you Jewish texts in the vernacular, local language. For God's sake, everyone should study Torah every day. There's a great quote from Thomas Jefferson. When they were creating democracy in this country, he said, if the people want to be ignorant and democratic, they want something that never was and never will be. You want a democracy, people have to be informed. They have to be making decisions. Otherwise, it's not a government by the people. The same thing is with Judaism. If you want Jews to be dedicated and knowledgeable, they have to be informed. And the way to inform them, and the way to become informed is very simple. Just open the book and learn. And that's the gift that the Vilna Gaon was expressing, that if books are available in the language of the country, go ahead and grab them. Judaism is amazing that way. Every single Jew is meant to be knowledgeable on whatever level they can be. There's a beautiful vart. Pasuk says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Torah was commanded to us through Moshe. Morasha kihilas Yaakov. Translate. Morasha kihilas Yaakov as an inheritance to the Jewish people. Inheritance. So the Medrash says, Al tikri morasha. Don't call it an inheritance. Ela ma'orasa, it's a marriage. What's the difference between an inheritance and a marriage? An inheritance, if you get that antique spoon that doesn't strike you the right way, so you put it in the attic. Nothing to do with me. What do you do with a marriage? You work on it. Different relationship. Don't read it an inheritance that if it doesn't strike me at first glance, I put it away. It's a relationship. You look at it, you re-examine it until you treasure it.